That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to episode 82 of Hollywood and Levine. Ken Levine, your podcast host. Today, part two of my interview with casting director Sheila Guthrie. And if you missed part one, after you listen to this podcast, go back, because there's a lot of great stuff in that one. This week, Sheila talks about the casting of Frasier, and as you will see, the series owes her a tremendous debt. Also, some useful tips for actors, what mistakes to avoid during auditions, and along the way, some unbelievable personal anecdotes, some crazy things that have happened to us along the way. So that's part two. Coming up right now, Sheila Guthrie on Hollywood and Levine. If you're a fan of Frasier, you, I'm sure, know the story, the lore about the hiring of David Hyde Pierce. And there was this casting director who saw this tape and went to the creators and said, hey, what about this guy as a brother character? And they said, wow, this guy's great. And he became David Hyde Pierce. Sheila Guthrie is that casting agent.
That was a rush.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the long story, extremely short, is that I went to see a Terrence McNally play in Hollywood at the James Doolittle, formerly James Doolittle, now Ricardo Montalban Theater. And
Ricardo Montalban has his own theater?
He has his own theater.
All right, wow.
On Vine and Hollywood,
wow.
Mr. Levine
right,
and Hollywood.
Right down from this,
yes.
Cesar Romero Theater.
I guess. Isn't it the Ricardo Montalban? Yeah, it is. Write letters if it's not.
It's Fernando Lamas Theater. I don't know.
it's a theater. And David was in it playing a temperamental director. And literally, I was there and said, oh my, he's a crane. Because I had been a puppy in my casting days and was there in the season that Kelsey Grammer came on to Cheers. And so I just thought he reminds me of very, very early Kelsey, but definitely in the Crane family tree. So then he was on a show called The Powers That Be about the government,
right,
where he was
Norman Lear's show.
Just so dear and so nuanced and so funny. And so, I went to, you know, Angel Casey Lee and who were doing Wings at the time. They were my group while I was working with Jeff Greenberg and his company. And I just said, look, I don't know what you're thinking, but this is something that just seems like I was witness to something that just seems obvious. I didn't think of it like an idea. I just thought, well, that's pretty clear. and showed them a little film festival and talked about seeing him in the show. And so that's how that happened.
Pretty cool.
It was really cool because...
Has he bought you a house or anything?
No, but he, I think I got, I got fruit for a year.
All right.
And I also got the pleasure of working with his partner, Brian, husband, I think at this point, Brian, who created a series called Titus that I just loved working with.
Yeah.
So that was a hoot. But that... It was one of those things where it's an itch you have to scratch. But the thing that hadn't occurred to me is that working on Wings, they were writing a show about two brothers. They had a show about two brothers. So in terms of another brother, element to the show, and also a family element to the show that was, as I understand it, also being developed as a workplace comedy. If you would know, probably... better than I, but it did work out nicely. And I've said this to David, actually. I said, you know what I so, if I give myself props, it's because I revere that creative team, that for me to decide to take up their time to actually pitch something, I thought,
better be brave.
Yeah. Just, you know, because they were listening intently, and I just thought, don't back down. This is okay. You got something here that you just want to make them aware of. And I felt like I wanted to have it be worth their while. And because I do revere them as creators. And so that was, I thought that I actually picked up my stuff in the pouring rain, again, 3/4 cassette and my film. And it was me doing a lot of talking, I remember. And so that was very, very, that was like a blessing, saying, you know.
Well, you mentioned you went to the theater that night. There must be 17 buses every day that arrive in Hollywood with actor hopefuls.
Yeah.
How do you stay up on everything? How do you get introduced to actors? Do you go to showcases? Do you go to theaters 5 times a night? How many VCRs do you have in your home?
Right. First of all, I'm a self-proclaimed theater rat. So, I mean, theater is I live and breathe, which is why I loved multicam. It was a hybrid to me, and which I understood. I loved opening night once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that tenuous feeling of that joke coming in with just the right amount of beat before, beat after, beat in between. I loved the craft of it. But I see a lot of theater in town, and it is a really strong way to see people that you wouldn't ordinarily be represented, have access to the process. So that's my favorite way of seeing the work. Rather than sitting down to chat with someone, I just love to see the work. I see people that solicit demos, bring in demos. If you have a part and you see 200 people for it, you get to know then that group of 200 that weren't right for this, but right for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So there is just a combination of, and yes, you do go to showcases. There's a whole college thing now out here, you know, that brings, it used to be the leagues in New York. Now, so many colleges bring their graduating classes out here, and there's a whole schedule of performances that you attend to.
Yeah.
So you get to see who's graduating from a university in Missouri that you wouldn't necessarily, you know, get on a plane and have the ability to go see. So there's that upcoming from the educational theater, you know, groove. And you, some of it's random.
You watch a lot of TV? I mean,
I do watch a lot of TV.
I know a casting director who has like 7 VCRs.
Yeah.
And is trying to watch
grab a little
everything.
Of something.
I mean, even commercials.
commercials?
You see somebody in a commercial and you go, wow.
In fact, I remember when there was a turn. It used to be very compartmentalized. You know, certain actors don't do commercials. Certain actors don't...
do episodic.
Episodic. Offer only. And now anyone can come from anywhere, from webisodes, from their own YouTube channel, from commercials, from the work is across a wide range of forms, where you can find a whole lot of interesting everywhere you look at any point during the day. So yeah, you do try and grab episodes, but you know, there's a saturation point, and you need to be a human computer. But you organize your own little notes about. I mean, I have pieces of napkins taped onto pages in notebooks for Big Wave Days, a show we did together. I have 5 pages of things that came to my mind while watching something, or I bumped into somebody in a cafe that I wrote a name and a role and something, and I taped the napkin to a page. It's very tactic. You know, tactile,
right.
Kind of sense memory. But any way in which you have your little hints and little books of people to remember, you go back. There are 5 different elements of organization that I have that all come in different forms. So, you know.
What are some mistakes that actors make in auditions?
There's some pretty basic things. One is trust this. That if you make a mistake in your mind, you come in, you get hung up because you go up and you want to go back. Hopefully it's not, I'm sorry, and don't apologize. If you go up, find your place in your sides, and we'll wait and keep moving. How you handle those hiccups are more defining than having them to begin with. And like I said, if you're right for this role, it's not about right. spelling, you know, it's really about the way you move forward with your work. I would say that's one. Someone coming in and asking, sometimes you politely say, do you have any questions? And someone will say, what are you looking for? And it's a question no one likes to answer.
Right.
You
right.
know, because it's
the right person.
Yes. It's all you think of are ways to be snide, you know, or snappy and not respectful. So it's not a healthy question. I would say reads that, and this you can tell me, reads where people came in, even if you knew there were nerves, you knew they were managing their nerves. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to worry for anybody who's reading.
Right.
And so you know that they're managing something. It's a sure-footed with a little bit of listening, active listening, and maybe something that happens unexpected in the room. And there's a thank you when they leave. That process is uncommon, where it's just simply an artist coming in, offering something that they, saying, here's what I have to offer, and leaving with a degree of sure-footedness, and yet still being open and still being pleasant, open conversation.
Right.
Sometimes you want to make that as someone walks in, and still being present in the work and leaving. That's unusual.
Some of my pet peeves?
Yeah.
Don't try to memorize the script. Okay? Just, you know, you don't have to be off book. Because oftentimes when they do that, they go...
That's when they go up.
Way up.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I just want you to read this. Not to paraphrase this. I just want this.
Yeah.
The other thing is don't come in wearing outlandish costumes for the part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe other producers like that. I don't.
Yeah.
And don't come in bitching about how hard it was to park.
Oh, I just thought of another one, too. I just got this. Like, coming in, I don't know if material's been made available to you for 2 days. I think it's something said to say, so if I get the role, it would go something like this, but even better.
Right.
If it works out. So.
Yeah. Or if I'm bad, it's not my fault.
Right.
Because I didn't have a chance to prepare.
Very little time.
Yeah.
It's not good information. It isn't helpful information. I would say, though, if that person that walks in with a costume or walks in with it memorized, but they're great, you might not like the fact that they tick two boxes on your list.
Yes.
But they had a lot to prove.
Yes.
They had more to prove.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the last thing I'm gonna talk about is maybe the worst casting session we ever had.
Or the best.
Or the best. And I'm not going to mention the actor's name. And I did talk about this like a year and a half ago on my podcast. But, you know, Sheila was there. And again, I'm not going to say the actor's name, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Talk about this without laughing.
This is on Big Wave Dave's. And the character was like supposed to be an expatriate kind of guy. And a
beachcomber.
Yeah, and a beachcomber. And we sort of envisioned kind of a Jack Nicholson type of character.
Mm-hmm.
And to set the stage, our office, we were at Paramount, and we were up against Gower, which is the street that bordered it on the west side. And we had a window looking out over the street. And usually when an actor, you know, comes in, Sheila will walk into the foyer and bring in the actor and go, okay, here is Jim Parsons.
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Jim. And then Sheila would actually be reading the other characters in the scene. So she goes out and she comes back and says, he wants to make an entrance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this right away.
Throw it on the pet peeve list.
Right. So in the audition, and I'm glad Sheila's here, because if I tell this story, no one is going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the character is supposed to come into a surf shop. He has just pulled one of the lead characters out of the ocean after wiping out. So the door flies open, and this big, slothy guy wearing just a t-shirt and shorts and carrying a giant garbage bag over his shoulder walks in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he's soaking wet.
There was that.
He was soaking wet. So he dumps the bag, and he starts reading, and he peels his shirt off for reasons we don't know. And David and I are looking at each other like, what's happening here? And then, for absolutely mystifying reasons, he removes his shorts.
Yeah.
So now he just has his tidy whities, but since they're soaked to the skin...
And probably a little worse for wear.
They're completely transparent. So Uncle Willie has now joined me. And you are trying to read.
I keep going.
You know.
He keeps going.
And David and I, it's like, you know, sometimes an actor will be so bad that, you know, you want to laugh, but you're just afraid of embarrassing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? David and I were gone. And so now this guy is thinking, I'm killing it. I'm just killing it. And then there's a moment in the script where there's lightning and thunder, and he goes, "That's God, Kamehameha, the God of thunder. He doesn't like howlies too." And so he goes to the window, and we had blinds, and imagine this, like, naked 300-pound guy, soaking wet. So he starts rattling the blinds, and King Kamehameha. And there's this young couple in their 20s that are walking down Gower.
That you saw?
You know, that we saw. And the husband had a camera around his neck. They were tourists from someplace coming to visit, you know. Well, the woman just goes batshit crazy screaming. David and I are now on the floor.
I don't think you were breathing. You were
and Sheila's reading. Sheila continues to read with this guy. So we finally finish the audition, and I mean tears are coming out of our eyes. We go, "Well, okay, that's a unique thing." And he goes, "All right," and he starts gathering up his stuff. And we said, "Well, no, you can put on your clothes. You know, no, I've taken up too much of your time already," and everything. So he goes out into the lobby, and the other part we were casting was for a woman in her mid-30s. So we had a number of Catherine Hicks, Jane Kasmerick type actresses in the waiting area. So he walks out, closes the door, and now we hear seven women scream.
Yes. Oh my God.
So then he goes out into the hallway, and Cheers was on the other end of the building.
Yeah.
And so they're hearing all the screams and stuff. So Jim Burrows peeks his head out, and he sees this 300-pound naked man getting dressed. And Jimmy came into our office later that day. I don't know if you know this part of the story. He came into our office, and he goes, "What are you making these people do?"
I know. You tell me later that he just – it was just nothing he'd seen in the hallway before. That it could be you had to be there, but the way you talk about it, I don't think you had to be there. You could pretty much picture.
Is that the worst? Have you had any other casting sessions that would rival that one for craziness?
On that same show.
Yeah,
for
that's
that
true.
Same part.
Yeah, that's true.
There were a few others.
Yeah.
With language we can't.
Yeah, we actually can, but there's no point.
Point. It was that role that somehow these actors were into it.
Yeah.
They loved this part. So
we eventually hired Kurtwood Smith.
Yes.
Who was great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't make us wonder if he was gonna just, you know, break through in something completely crazy.
Yeah, we had an actor, and it was early in the morning. I think it was like a 10 o'clock casting session.
Yeah.
And he came in, and you could smell his breath down the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was a guy
you've seen
know.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, you've seen him. And he's reading, and then he, like, stops right in the middle.
Yeah.
And he blurts out this obscenity. And then he launches into a Colonel Kurtz Apocalypse Now
completely
monologue.
Yeah,
that we're like, I don't see this on page 3. What is this?
It was, but you guys, if I remember correctly, it also got you laughing. You were a little uneasy because, yes, he.
I thought he was going to kill us.
That wasn't funny. But I kept going. Still, kept going.
How you did that, I do not know.
Well, I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know whether it was better just to let them do their thing, thank you, and go because of the. Because it was of the absurdity, if someone gets stopped, how do you know, and feeling not good about their read or rejected or interrupted, I just didn't feel, I mean, you guys were there.
Did you call the agent afterwards? Did you let the agent? Because if this is what this guy is going to do, he's going to lose out on a lot of parts.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't recall, which probably means I did not. Uh-huh. I just thought, I will make that someone else's issue. Uh-huh. Let someone else call them if it happens again, or if it's something that...
See, if I were you, I would have brought him in on every other project just to see what he did.
Yeah, you know
what? It'd be worth 10 minutes of my time.
What I should have done, what you all should have done, is written another role, a guest role in the series for a guy coming up from the beach rescuing somebody, seeing what comes up. Because we saw a lot. There were quite a few very high-profile actors who came in for that.
Right.
Because they really loved the part. And so we had some really interesting variations from very oddball places, you
we
know.
We had a British actor who, I won't mention his name either, but he was a very...
big
well-known, respected actor. And he came in and we said, we love your work, but you're so against type, we just love to hear you read it. And he went hemmed and hawed, and then he said, no, I'm not going to read it. And we said, well, okay, well, appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
We're huge fans of your work, but we have to hear it. And then a few days later, he called you back and said, okay, I'll read. So we bring him back, and then he comes in, and after 5 minutes of charming chit-chat, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to read. Like, finally, it's like, read or get out.
Right.
You know, which he never did.
He was so conflicted.
Yeah.
I do remember this. And he was conflicted because... should he, because I completely appreciated the fact that none of us knew what you were going to be hiring. If
right.
you hired him simply based on his work and his renown, it still was unclear whether he was this character.
Right.
So, and he was brought in special and it was all very respectful.
Yeah.
But
I
remember.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were excited.
Yeah.
Because we thought, you know, if he does a good job.
Yeah.
This is going to be so interesting and different than what you would expect.
Yes.
That this was going to be just a lightning in a bottle.
And
so
particularly,
we were excited.
Right. For that form, that's not everyone's gift. A multicam, you know, live audience form, there are actors who are, they won't come in, it scares them. And that's okay. If you know it scares you and you
save yourself and us the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but there are actors who it is intimidating. The audience, the pressure, that kind of pressure. And then there are those that it gives them such a high.
Yeah. They feed off the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, so more and more, there are just some talent that you, so he was not, he did not know the form in terms of his work. And so we didn't either, but, so there was that. There was a multitude of oddness, but you know what I have to say? Because you and David understood it's a process. You were a joy because you were very, you knew you had to kiss some frogs. You knew you had to kiss a lot of frogs to find out whether or not there was a prince in the group.
And our feeling is casting is so crucial. Put in the time.
Yeah.
Put in the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't just see somebody and go, oh, okay, he looks fine. Good. Done. I don't have to worry about it. It is, you save yourself hundreds of hours in the room at night rewriting when you spend an extra 6 hours seeing people and getting the right person.
Absolutely. And there would be a right person. There would be some very, very good reads, but they were not your muse, you know?
Right.
They were not
going to
be. And you would know it walking in the door And that was a real, and sometimes it was singularly. It was the one actor who was, like you said, there it is. And so it would be maybe one, maybe two actors that were possible, but you need just the one. Mm-hmm. So there shouldn't be perhaps 10 excellent choices. There shouldn't be. There should be one that is singularly, you know, what is the missing puzzle piece. So I always appreciated that you were so willing to laugh in moments that were funny for different reasons. And some people, you know what I liked is that you wanted a little unexpected. You wanted someone to surprise you. You wanted someone to invent. You didn't want to have to spoon feed someone who was maybe really good, but was not going to invent things for you to reciprocate and be inspired by. And so that was, you know, that was always an understanding.
We went by the Nat Hiken rule. Now, Nat Hiken was the creator of the Bilko show and also Car 54. Wow. And those shows were always wonderfully cast with great oddball faces and characters. And he used to say that if an actor came in and he automatically wanted to write 20 minutes of dialogue for this guy, that's the guy. That's the guy.
That is it. You're absolutely right. If you really like watching someone and you're ready to sit down with them and watch them again and again and again and again, back to what we were talking about. But that is the perfect measure. And that's what I think as your casting director, that is exactly who we wanted to find. And y'all were picky, and that's really good. You all were highly discerning, and for good reason, and because of your experience, and because of your
knowledge.
Did
you ever want to kill us? Last question. Did you ever want to kill us?
Did I ever want to kill you? Did I
ever... I'm going to take that as a yes.
No, I'm going to rephrase the question. Did I ever hope for you to love someone I liked more than you did? Yes. But you were always right. You were always right. We would do more.
Now I feel bad I don't have parting gifts.
Well, you were right. Ultimately, I think in terms of the chemistry, I saw where yes, maybe I really really liked an actor that. Stood apart from the chemistry, though, and you really had you were intuitive about who would work well together and that they would all come up with each other, and because that chemistry always worked when we finally landed, they were fun together. The unit was really fun together. So and I couldn't say, looking back, that I wouldn't have the sore thumb. Wonderful actor, not right for this dynamic.
Right.
So.
Well, Sheila, thank you. This has just been wonderful.
I love catching up. Oh my gosh, I have loved catching up. And you know what? The one thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Since now, there's a camera in every room. So we now capture. I mean, what I wouldn't give for a video that audition.
Right.
Of.
that guy.
What I wouldn't give.
That would have gone viral on YouTube.
I think it would. But because now there's a camera, you know, we don't allow things to get out. We hold on to that and protect it and all that kind of stuff. But just for our viewing pleasure, I'll bet you it's just as funnier than we remember. Because it was truly, it was that I remember like it happened yesterday.
And of course, what I never got a chance to see was if there was a camera pointing towards us.
Yes.
And our reaction.
Ah!
That would have been.
Yes. We would have gone to the floor with you not being able to breathe Honestly, yeah. Honestly.
We did. We were on the floor. We were on the floor, and my vision was blurry because of the tears in my eyes.
Totally. And I do remember you guys not looking at each other because you'd get worse.
Right.
So you were trying not to look at each other at one point. You gave up at another point. But I do remember, like, you couldn't. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You were trying to get your own personal grip.
Right.
And it was. It was. It was. And that is one of my funnest memories. So, you know.
You know, it's like I so couldn't keep it together.
No,
that what I wanted to do was when he left and you came back into the room, I wanted to say to you, we love him. That's the guy. Make a deal.
Oh.
And have you try to talk us out
and
of it.
Just, yeah, I don't know if I'd do anything different today, quite honestly, too. I would probably keep going.
Yeah.
I would probably figure, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know whether you would have wanted me to stop it.
No.
Make it stop.
We loved it just the way it is. And God bless you for hanging in and doing it.
I think I would still do that today because you just don't stop. I didn't know whether you were wishing I would make it go away or if I was hoping, if I figured that was your call, but you were so, you had so lost it that I didn't know if you had the wherewithal. So it was just so wonderfully, it was such wonderful chaos that's, I think, what made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wonderful. No one knew what to do. No one had, it didn't matter. It didn't
Sheila,
matter.
Sheila, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wasn't she terrific? Wow. Thanks to Sheila Guthrie for being my guest this week and last week. Again, if you missed part one, go back and listen to it now. Our thanks, as always, to Adam and Susie Meister-Butler and to Howard Hoffman. I am available via email. HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com is my address. HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I can't believe you're not following me on Twitter already, @KenLevine, and I'm on Instagram, HollywoodAndLevine, and from time to time, I post pictures of my granddaughter, Becca, so you got to sign up for that. Anyway, again, thanks to Sheila Guthrie, and thanks to you for listening. We will be back next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.